this week's parsha, Parshas Korach, really continues, unfortunately, the downward slide that we saw beginning in Parshas Bahaloscha. Bahaloscha, when the people were complaining, Ve'yom Kimisonim, V'misavim, Parsha Shlach, obviously, right after Bahaloscha, Shlach is the sin of the Meraglim that we discussed last week, and the loss of perspective of the Jewish people, of what Eretz Yisrael meant, of what the opportunity to be there meant, really the loss of perspective, their uniqueness in their relationship with Hashem. And now we come to Parshas Korach, and Parshas Korach, it's almost like the last straw, right? In Bahaloscha, the people, they're kvetching. And we spoke about that on Shabbos, Parshas Bahaloscha. Last week, all of a sudden, they take pot shots at this great land of where we're supposed to go. Taking pot shots, why did you even take us out of Egypt, right? A certain ungratefulness. Now this week, there's one more target left. They already targeted God. They already targeted what God did. So the next target is, of course, God's messenger, right? The greatest Navi, B'chol Beisi Ne'eman Hu, the one that Hashem says about, in all my house, he's the most trustworthy, that he's Anav Mikol Adam, the most humble of all human beings. And that, of course, is Moshe Rabbeinu. And at the forefront of this machlokes is Korach. Korach is a cousin of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Torah starts, V'ikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kos ben Levi, that Korach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kahas, the son of Levi, showing that he is in Shevet Levi, showing that he is cousin to Moshe Rabbeinu, Dasan Avirov b'nei Eliav, On ben Pelas b'nei Ruvain, they get up, and they have 250 other members of the Jewish people that aren't Stam people, but Nesiei Eda Kriei Moed Anshei Shem. People of great standing, people of great name, right? Hashem Tov, Anshei Shem, men of great renown. That's how the Art Scroll translates it. And they all gang up on Moshe and Aaron. And we know that this is a tremendous tragedy in of its own right. We know that they all lose their lives. And when the Jewish people actually complain against Moshe and Aaron, that they were the ones, meaning Korach sparked something, you know, gave a focal point for the discontent. When people are upset, all they need is a focal point, and then that's it. Even if it's totally irrational, even if it makes no sense, once people are given, with this big storm going on, the lightning rod, that all their anger and their frustration and everything, anxiety, can be poured out on, it's poured out on them. And in fact, when you look at Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Vav, it tells us, Vayilonu kol adas b'nei Yisrael mimachras al Moshe v'al Aaron lemar atem hamitem es am Adonai. That the people complain the next day against Moshe and Aaron, after the ground swallows up Korach, right, Dasan Aviram, and after the 250 people with them are burnt by the Ketores that they bought, that they were bringing, which is the last pasuk of Perek Tes Zayin, page 826 in the R scroll, Ve'eshi Yotzam Yis Adonai, Batochas HaChamishim Masayim Ish Makrivei HaKetores. So after that happens, the next day, the people complain, saying, you killed the nation of God, right? And the chutzpah is astounding. Meaning these people were complaining against the most trusted ones of Hashem, right? But no, you did it. And Hashem says, let me destroy them. It is a plague. Aaron stops the plague. Vayamud ben Hamesim ben Achaim, the secret of Ketores that we've spoken about before. So really, this parsha is a whole disaster. It's a disaster. And there are a number of things to really discuss here. One of the things that it's very interesting is that, you know, they all come to Moshe, and Korach is the one who speaks. Right? Madua tisnasu al kal Hashem, who made you the leaders? Why have you elevated yourself? And Moshe says to them, Shimuna b'nei Levi, right? Is it small thing that you also have a great great role here? Bikashtim gam kahuna, you want to be a Kohen also, what are you doing? And Korach, we're not told what his response is, right? And then, Vayishlach Moshe likra l'dasan v'aviram b'nei Eliyav, Vayomru lo na'aleh. Right? They said, we're not going up. And what's interesting is, later on, Moshe tells Korach, He's the figurehead here, everything that you have to do. You know, let's prepare for the showdown tomorrow. Everyone separate from these people. And once again, Moshe Rabbeinu is calling, I mean, just showing how different it is. He basically says that, you know, there's some a totally new type of death is going to be brought upon these people. Something that we haven't seen before. And this is going to be the sign that it is from Hashem that this isn't me. This is really God. And we see that what's really so ironic and so fascinating about this is that when you think about what was Korach's taina, right? Korach's taina was a taina that made no sense. Korach's taina, Chazal tell us that Kaleida Kulam Kedoshim, you know, Korach, everyone's holy, why do you have the Lord over us? Kulam Kedoshim, Umaduat is Naso al Kalashem, the various midrashim, the examples that he used. But the irony is, it's so crazy because Korach himself was in an elevated status. Korach himself was a B'nai Levi. He was B'nai Kahas. He had a great role. And there are Mefarshim who point out that, you know, this is, I mean, actually one modern day Mefarsh, we've quoted him before, Yaakov Nagin, who was a Rav in Otniel in the Yeshivat Hezder. His name used to be Ganak. He changed it. He points out in his Sefer on Chumash, he said, it sounds like Animal Farm. You know, all animals are created equal, but some are more equal than others. He says, what's Korach's taina? His taina is ludicrous. And it just shows you that this is classically what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos refers to as a machlokes shelo l'shem shamayim. This is a machlokes not for the sake of heaven. This is a machlokes for the sake of what? For the sake of personal power. And it's such a flimsy, flimsy cover that Korach comes with. But why are people buying into it? Why are people buying into Korach's argument? It makes no sense. Right? Think about it. Korach... Who wasn't? Korach wasn't. Right. So that's why you should know some of Farshim say, why did Moshe have to strike so harshly against them? And here we see that their whole family is wiped out. Korach, v'chol mishpachto, dasan v'aviram, you know, Un ben Peles is saved by... Yishud Tzidkanis, right, his wife saves him, but 250 people of great fame amongst the Jewish people, substantial individuals, are all killed. Why does Moshe strike so harshly against them and speak so harshly against them in a new type of death? Why is that? Because this is really an attack on basic faith in Torah of Mesinai. Because if you are going to be able to knock out Moshe Rabbeinu as the chosen one of Hashem, then you can call all of Mamad Har Sinai into question. Right? You can't call the Yetzias Mitzrayim into question. You can't call Kriyas Yamsuf into question. But you can call Kabbalah Satorah into question. Because we know they heard God's voice, but after that, Moshe went up. And Moshe came down and taught them all these things. Who's to say that Moshe is really the chosen one? That's why Moshe says this isn't... People sometimes mistakenly attribute Moshe acting so harshly here and almost vindictively because it's an attack on him personally. Not at all. Not at all. Mefarshim point out, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal and others point out the reason why Moshe acts the way that he does is because Moshe is so concerned for Kvod Hashem. Moshe is so concerned that the whole concept of bringing Torah down for the Jewish people is going to be lost if they would buy into Korach. The question is, how do people buy into Korach? And this is just, unfortunately, an example. You know, what happened in Parsha Shlach is happening all over again. And that's why Korach understood that this was the opportunity that he had to attack Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, why does Korach all of a sudden come at this point in the desert? Because the Gezeirah was just sealed against the Dardea, the Dar Midbar, that they're not going to come out of the Midbar. That they're staying in the Midbar. They're never going to go into Eretz Yisrael. That's a great failure of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? his role was to bring these people into Eretz Yisrael. That's what he wanted to do, right? The Arba Lashon Shel Geula, we know. We know there is a fifth expression of redemption, which is Vehevesi. And then I'll bring them into the land, and Moshe Rabbeinu isn't going to be able to do this. Can we imagine the despair that a whole generation had? Granted, they brought it upon themselves. Granted, they were the ones crying in their tents, saying, God hates us. Pesinas Hashem osanu. Hashem hates us. That's why he did it to us. But can we understand how down they were? And that's why they're buying into an argument that makes no sense. Because Korach himself, what's he going to do? There's going to be no head to the Jewish people? What are you talking about? And that's why Moshe says to him, Rav Lachem ben Eli, what are you doing? What are you doing? It makes no sense. And it makes no logical sense. But therefore, because Moshe says, Vigashtim gam kohuna, you really just want the kohuna, but he's claiming, no, everyone's holy, so why are you complaining that you're not the Kohen? Right? And so what this shows us is that one lesson, what Chassidus Sfarim talk about very often, is the danger of despair. The danger of being in a depressive state. That when you're in a depressive state, you have no idea, Rahman al-Tzlan, God forbid, how far we can fall. And that's why, you know, it's a little dangerous when we come to Tammuz, when we come to Av, that people, you know, shouldn't become too morose. And that's how some say, Mishenechnas Av Mematin Besimcha, that when the month of Av comes, we Mematin Besimcha, we make ourselves small through joy, meaning that it's through this month of Av that we have to increase our joy, that we Mematin the sadness of Av Besimcha. Mematin Besimcha, that when you come to such a month, sometimes you have to increase the joy that you have. And some point out that this is one of the important lessons of Parshas Korach. The state of mind that you're in affects your ability to see clearly, affects your ability to serve Hashem properly. And this is why, you know, Chassidus certainly stresses it, but people think it's just Chassidus, you know. David HaMelech stresses this in Tehillim. This is something Shlomo HaMelech talks about. The importance of being besimcha, the importance of being happy. And again, it doesn't mean jolly. It means a sense of purpose, a sense of fulfillment, a sense of connecting with the Ribono Shel Olam out of a certain level of happiness. And this is what happens in Parshas Korach. Korach sees that it makes no sense what his tainus are against Moshe Rabbeinu. But he's going to attack him anyway, and he has a tremendous opportunity to succeed because the people are crestfallen, because the people are broken, because the people are despondent over the gezeira that was handed down in last week's parsha. And Taka, it happens. Taka, that's what happens. The Jewish people fall for this, and so much so that even after it's clear that it's from Hashem, even though it's clear, Vatiftach Aretz Espia, Vativla Osam, that after the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up, what happens, as we said, and the fire comes and strikes down the 250 Nisi'eida Kriye Moed Anshe Shem, and yet, mamish, the very next day, that's what the Pasuk tells us, Vayilonu Kol Adas Ben Yisrael Mimacharos, the very next day, the people go to complain on Moshe and Aaron, saying, you killed these people. You killed the Am Hashem. Makes no sense. It makes no sense. It just shows you, Nebuch, how irrational people can be and how the state of mind that you're in can really cause tremendous, tremendous damage. And that's why the Chassidic, it's quoted in the name of number of Chassidic Rebbe, something we said earlier this year, that despair, depressive sadness isn't an Aveira, but it can cause worse than any Aveira. Because when a person's in such a state of mind, you know, everything falls apart. And when the Jewish people, unfortunately, began in last week's parsha, I mean, it really began in Baal Oscha. And from Baal Oscha, what sets them off in Baal Oscha? It's unclear exactly what sets them off. We discussed it Shabbos morning. Unfortunately, it was the parsha of the Kvetchers. Right? And then that kvetching, that negative attitude, that despair, the negativity, you know, they talk about having the negative filter. Psychologists always talk about a negative filter. that people just can't see the good that they'll, what they filter is the negative, meaning they let all the good go through and they only have the negative. I remember in Wayu Smicha, in pastoral psychology, when they were telling us about, you know, just taking care of ourselves from a mental health perspective, they said, as rabbis, it's very easy to have that negative filter that, you know, one person says they hate the drasha and 50 people tell you they love the drasha. Which one do you remember? It's always that one that said they hate the drasha, right? That's called a negative filter. So the Jewish people really, somehow in Baal Oscha, they should have been riding high. They have this negative filter. They only learn how to kvetch about things. And then it leads to them saying, God hates us in Parsha Shlach. And Yitzias Mitzrayim was a bad thing. And going to Eretz Yisrael is going to be a disaster. And we're just going to die in the desert. Think about this. These are people that witnessed Eser Makos. These are people that walked through the Yamsuf. These are people that heard God's voice at Har Sinai. The people that are eating the man. The people that are drinking water from the Bear Miriam. What do they say? And because of that, because of B'senas Hashem Osanu, because they were saying, oh, how much God hates us, so the decree came that the Dor Deo will not leave the desert. And this is when Korach sees now is his opportunity to strike. And that's what he does. In a machlokes, in an argument that makes absolutely no sense, because Korach himself is nobility, as Moshe Rabbeinu points out, and that's why many say Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Dasan Va'aviram. Moshe Rabbeinu, he thinks that there's some who say that Moshe Rabbeinu thought that Dasan Va'aviram were really the major players in this machlokes. So often when you have public arguments, there are people out in the public eye, they're just the figureheads. Who are really the Bali Machlokes? The real Bali Machlokes? They're the ones behind the scenes. You know, the Gaboim, the Shamashim. You know, the people, unfortunately, in the Torah world today, when they're huge, huge Machloksen, you know, who are the ones really behind the Machloksen? So Moshe Rabbeinu saw it was Dasan Aviram. So it wasn't Korach. Because Korach, it made no sense what he was saying. And that the groundswell of support that he had, he thought, Moshe thought was from Dasan Aviram. And he tries to go speak to Dasan Aviram. And they rebuff Moshe. They won't listen to him. But what we come out with, I mean, before, meaning when this, the whole story of Korach v'Adasa was done, before the people come and complain, why did you kill Korach? Why did you kill all these men? Why did you kill Dasan v'Aviram? We know there's a Pasuk, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Hey, 8:28, when it says, Zikaron levnei Yisrael, leman asher lo yikrav zar asher lo mizar Aaron, hu lakdir ketores lefnei Adonai. That's why they took the fire pans, and Elazar HaKohen made it into a covering for the Mizbeach. V'lo yech chichorach v'cha'adoso kasher diber Adonai b'yad Moshe lo. And the reminder they should not be like Korach and his whole congregation and all his mob, right? And in fact, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kufir Amar Aleph, tells us that Rav says this isn't the lashon of the Gemara is that Rav says it's aser la adam lahachzik b'machlokes. It's aser for a person to hold on to machlokes. It's aser for a person to hold on to machlokes. And in fact, although the Rambam sees it probably as an asmachta, the Ramban, the Smag, and many other Rishonim see an iser daraisa here. An iser daraisa to be machzik b'machlokas, to hold on to a debate, to hold on to a fight, an argument. When you hold on to it, that's when you're doing what Korach did. To get into an argument initially, it's interesting. It doesn't say anyone who starts an argument. And arguments happen. The question is, if you hold on to the argument, if you're machzik, that's when you become like Korach v'Chadaso. And again, the Ramban, the Smag, they hold this as an Isser Daraisa. This is an Isser Daraisa, Torah prohibition. Prohibition from the Torah. To keep a fight going. Some say, in fact, that's why. I forgot who it was that said this. Maybe it was Shimshon Pinkus, who said that's why Moshe asked for, I'll tell you why I don't like the Peshat after. That's why Moshe asked for the Pia Aretz to just swallow up Korach, to remove Korach and Dasan V'Aviram from the scene, because if they were still there, Moshe Rabbeinu would have let go of the Machlokas. He would have just walked away. You know? because you didn't Isser lo yeke Korach v'chad also. They can't be machzik machlokas. So Moshe Rabbeinu would have had to have walked away. He wouldn't want to perpetuate this great controversy and argument amongst the Jewish people. But that's a little troubling. Moshe Rabbeinu would have given up. I don't know. I find that pshat hard to... doesn't sit with me well, because we're talking about, as Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said, we're talking about the future of all of the Jewish people to survive and to believe in Moshe Emes v'Torah Emes. It's one of the Yud Gimel Ikarim, right? One of the 13 principles of faith, as explained by the Rambam, to believe in the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Torah we have was given to us by Moshe, wasn't exchanged for any other Torah. So that's why an attack on Moshe really is an attack on the essence of the Jewish people. It's really an attack on the essence of the lifeline of the Jewish people. It's an attack on Torah. But the idea of lo yechi chorech v'chadaso shows us that the problem is being machzik machlokes. What does it mean to be machzik machlokes? Remember, I told you the story, right, about the principal in the school in Beit Shemesh. Remember the story? I told you the story of a Hasidish woman who... became the principal of a Dati Lu'umi school in Beit Shemesh, of a religious Zionist school in Beit Shemesh. Obviously, a Hasidish woman who had advanced degrees, I think she was going for a doctorate, or had one in education, and it was a school that had a real turnover of principals, had a number of principals over a few years. One of my sisters-in-law actually teaches in the school, and this Hasidish woman was supposed to be amazing, like a real crackerjack educator, amazing, amazing educator. And supposedly the students were happy, teachers were happy. It was she was the best thing for the school. And there were a group of parents that circulated a letter amongst all the parents of the school, like a little after Hanukkah, why did we hire this Hasidish woman? She doesn't believe in what we believe. She doesn't believe in Halal Yom Atzmaut. She doesn't believe in Medinat Yisrael. You know, how could we have her as the principal for our children? And my sister-in-law and some others were fuming. These people, these parents, what do they want? Another principal? They have any idea the disaster the school has been before on the inside with the students, with the teachers. Things were getting so much better. And my sister-in-law and some others were going to create another group against those parents. They were going to, you know, get involved in arguments. L'shem Shemayim, right? Sake of education of the children. They asked the Shaila whether they can start this, and they were told, yes, it's for the yeshiva, it's for the education, of course you could. And when the principal got wind of this, she reached out to my sister-in-law, some others, and said, listen, you know, I'm going to try and talk to those parents, but if they're not going to budge and they stand firm, I am going to hand in my resignation letter after Purim. Well, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And she said, let me explain to you. She said, I was obviously a little bit of a rebel in the Hasidish world. You know, she went and got a degree in college, and she was going for advanced degrees, very worldly, very well-read. You know, she wasn't originally from Israel. She was Antwerp. I forgot where she was, where her family was from. And she was read a shidduch of one of the most chash of a certain type of Hasidus in Eretz Yisrael. A son of one of the Zikne Chaside, whatever Chasidus it is, I'm not going to say which, because you'll see why at the end of the story. Like her, the Shidduch was read to her, this one of these old elder Chasidim and one of the big, big Chasidus in Eretz Yisrael. He had a son who was also different. He had a son who was like really out there in the Hasidic world, you know, into scholarship and, you know, also looking at maybe getting a degree, maybe not, you know. So they went out, also not normal in the Hasidish world. They went out, and it was going well. And so her boyfriend at the time, you know, her father said he wanted to meet with her. And, you know, she got very nervous. She told my sister-in-law and others she was very nervous to go meet him. He was a well-known person in this Hasidus. He was one of the elders, you know, when the Rebbe would have Tish, he was sitting right near the Rebbe at the table. And she goes to meet with him. And he says, so my son is very fond of you. Yes, he says, my son told me you're getting degrees in education. You want to go into education. Yes, it's what I want to do. He says, okay. He says, I have one request from you if you want to marry my son. One request if you want to marry my son. If you want to marry my son, if there's ever a public machlokas in any of the schools you're involved in, run away. Run away. She said, well, what do you mean? He says, you're going into Jewish education. You're going to be involved in the needs of the Jewish people. You know, it's a uniquely Jewish trait, you know, to argue. And he said, if you ever get into involved in a public machlokas, just run away. That's the one thing. If you make me that promise, you don't have to shave your head the way our Hasidish women do in our group. You do whatever you want. My son sees you're a special person, but this is the one thing. If you don't promise me, I'm breaking off the shidduch right now. So she said, I have to think about it, but, you know, and she came back and said, I promise. And she said, but can I ask you, why? Why do you feel so strongly? And this is why I'm not telling you which Hasidus it was. He said, when the last Rebbe died, he said, I was very close to the last Rebbe. It's a huge, huge argument. Machlokas, who was going to take over? Was it a son or a brother of the previous Rebbe, meaning the uncle or the nephew? The son of the previous Rebbe or the brother of the previous Rebbe? Because the brother of the previous Rebbe was a son of the two Rebbes before, right? This happens in Hasidus. It's a fight that's been fought in a number of Hasidus. He said, and the fights were getting nasty. Nasty. Like public signs against each other, kids and wives being harassed in the street, people were getting beaten up, doors were being vandalized, like it was not good. Each of them wanted me to say that I support this one, because people knew I was close to the previous Rebbe. My opinion would carry a lot of weight. He said, I called both sides together. I had the brother, I had the son sitting right here at this table. And I told them both, what you're both doing is a disgrace to your brother, to your father. This is not what this Hasidus is supposed to be about. He says, I'm not supporting either of you. Turn away from this machlokas. Figure out a way that you can... No, it's not us, it's them. He goes, and I had them and all their main henchmen at my table. They refused to listen to me. He says, I'm telling you, every one of those henchmen, every one of those people that were the Bali Machlokes, within a year had a major tragedy in their family. Whether physical, whether financial, they suffered tremendous, tremendous things within a year of that meeting at my house. And he says, ever since then, I've run away, and I've told all my children, run away. So when my son told, and I asked my son, what are you going to do? And he told me, Tati, she's learning, she wants to be a principal. I thought, ay vey, a principal of a school. You know? Ein lecha machloks in gedola mizu, right? Rav Salvechik told my father, when my father was considering chinuch rabbanus, Rav Salvechik, the Rav, told my father, he said, Jay, go into rabbanus. He said, because when it comes to chinuch, because when it comes to people's kids, people are totally irrational, they get crazy, and you're not going to be able to deal with them. Your personality is not going to be good with parents, Jay. He goes, go into Rabbanus. That's what Rav Salvechik told my father. This is the idea. This is what Rav is telling us in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. When you're machzik machlokas. Machzik means you make strong, chazak. You hold on to a machlokas. And you make the machlokas worse and worse and worse. You're over in Issa Daraisa. What? Correct. And that's what drove this whole thing. The ultimate irony is the Anav Mikol Adam, the most humble of all human beings, right, is Moshe Rabbeinu, and he's being accused of what? Of lording himself over everyone. And the one who says, oh, everyone should be equal, right, who he himself really wants position of power, what happens to him? He really does sink to the depths of the earth, right? He really does go lower than the ground, right? Moshe's Anav Mikol Adam, Korach becomes lower than everyone. But this is something that when you look at Parshas Korach, it's such a troubling, troubling Parsha, because I think the major lesson, the major take home is that just when you're not in a good place, understand you can't get along with anyone, you get into fights. You know, I remember a Rebbe of mine once said, he says, when you're very upset in the morning and angry in the morning, you're like lashing out at people, most of the time it's because you didn't have a good night's sleep. That's what he told me. He said, you know, I'm like, interesting, you know. That's interesting, Ha'ara, you know, because when you're in a dorm, you have to live amongst guys. It's not, you know, imagine the first time you were in dorm life, you know, when you didn't have your own room and you weren't having your own bathroom, that you were actually in a dorm. And sometimes people were getting on each other, tight quarters, but also, you know, you don't sleep as well. When you're not in a good place, everything's bad. And that's what's happening to the Jewish people here, in Bahaloscha, Shlach, and Korach. They get into a bad place. That's Baloscha, and then everything's bad. As we said, Yitzias Mitzrayim is bad. Eretz Yisrael is bad. God is bad. In this week's parasha, Moshe's bad. Aaron's bad. It's like unbelievable. Unbelievable. And again, and we see how far it goes. At Heichan Dvar Magim, how far these things reach. The pasuk in this parasha, that when you read it and you're like, are you kidding me? Is after, again, it's a pasuk I come back to, because you read it and you're just like, what? After Korach v'Adoso, after Dos and Avirim are all taken away, the next day, Vayilonu kol Adas b'nei Yisrael, al Moshe v'al Aaron, atem ha-misim, you killed them. What? Are you kidding me? It's like the BBC headline, the Rishon, the BBC headline, three Palestinians killed, you know, in a terror attack in Jerusalem. What was the story? You know what happened Friday night? 23-year-old, she was 23? 23-year-old Hadas Malka, a border patrol police woman in the Old City, was the victim of a coordinated terror attack by three terrorists, Yimach Shmo V'Zichrom. And other people were injured. Her Levaya was Motzei Shabbos, 23-year-old young girl. And the BBC headline was, three Palestinians killed in terror attack. It's like Mamish, Rishon Gemurim. You know, that's like Lahavdil, but you read it, you're like, what? How are the people complaining that it was Moshe and Aaron's fault? That the Korach, really? Like they didn't take a lesson at all. It just shows you how dangerous it is when you're not in a good place. That's what it is. And that's why Hasidim stress being happy. You know, that's why you see these crazy Breslovers with techno music blasting, dancing on top of vans. Did you ever do that? You ever do that? Just when you're in a bad mood, put on fun music and just start dancing. Sometimes I do that with my kids. I put on like an Eitan Katz song, good with Leib Dikon, I just start dancing. The kid's like, I was going crazy. You start laughing. But it brings you a certain place. It's like a geschmack. It gets, you know, it's very bad to be in a bad place. And that's why, you know, the whole idea of sitting together. Why do Hasidim have the idea of just sitting together? We'll forget the L'chaims. There's an idea in Hasidus of Sheves Achim, of women also coming together just to sit and schmooze. Not for the very time, just to sit and schmooze, sing together, hang out. That you mechazik each other, you lift each other's spirits. That's a very, very powerful thing. It's a very powerful thing. And Parshas Korach is unfortunately the third of the three parshios of just absolute disaster. Like these three parshios, Balos, Shlach, Korach, are the breakdown of the Jewish people. And it's also the root of all galus. And it means we have to learn how to get out of it. Right? That's why the Baal Shem HaKadosh was quoted as saying that the tefillah that's going to bring Mashiach is Ava Rabba. Ava Rabba is the paragraph we say before Shema in the morning. When you can feel the love of Hashem, and the love of Hashem can fill you up. When a Jew can feel the love of Hashem, he can't be down when you feel the love of Hashem. Right? You know Hashem loves you, how can you be down? So that's why, you know, I'm very into this, you know, people call it neo-Hasidic. Hasidus, it's what Hasidus is. A big part of Hasidus is being besimcha. Of recognizing Hashem loves you, of recognizing it's not good to be in a bad place. And these are the parshas that we see it. And the victim in this week's parsha is Moshe. Of a revolt that makes no sense. And time again, and they attack Moshe. And this is something that we have to take from a parshas Korach. Of course, not to be machzik machlokes, but the very fact, like you said, Elisa, a person that keeps a machlokes going is a fabisana person. Is an angry, bitter person. Right, 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 right. Bitter, it's bitter things. It's bitter. It's forbidden. And that's why you have to be the one to break it. You have to be the one to say, I'm not going to hold this machlokas. I'm not going to keep this machlokas going. You know, and I've always, just today I got an email, someone, and people ask me, you know, so what can I really do to make a difference? Halavai, halavai, halavai. Tonight, work on being besimcha. Work on being, if it means turning on music and dancing to music, I'm not joking, you think I'm crazy. Turn on music and dance to music. Dance a little. Sing a little. Do fun things. Last night, me and my two little girls and then one of my sons got involved in an intense game of Brachos Bingo. Went on for 45 minutes. It went on to 10 o'clock at night. My wife was not so happy that we were playing Brachos Bingo, and I won. My kids really enjoyed my victory dance. Then I won at 10 o'clock at night. It was mamish. It went on for 45 minutes, Brachos Bingo. It's very hard. It's a complicated game. But pull out the guitars. Pull out the guitars. Yeah, so be besimcha, and don't be forbidden. Try to be positive, and that's part of what tefillah can do for a person, to help you to be positive, to help you be besimcha, and Hashem should just help us all. Hashem should just help us all. Yidavan to Hashem should help us be besimcha and to connect to Him in that way. Yeah.